The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Morning Drive on WTBR 89.7 FM and our listeners down at our new tower, off of our new tower down in Lee, WSBR 88.1. So welcome to Friday, May 16th. I'm Brian Burkle. I'll be your host today. Sean has the morning off along with the rest of the crew because they had their Eats a Pizza event last night. So I'm sure that they need a little extra rest this morning, sleeping it off. In studio today, and we'll get to this in a few minutes after the weather, but we have some representatives here from the Mount, the Edith Wharton Resort, not resort, but estate down in Lenox. So we will do those introductions after we check in with our weather. Again, we are live and local this morning at our WTBR studio here on Federico Drive. So here is the weather. Let's see what's going on.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny. Showers likely with a chance of thunderstorms this afternoon. Highs around 80. Southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 60%. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Showers likely with a chance of thunderstorms in the evening. Then a chance of showers after midnight. Lows in the lower 60s. South wind around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain 60%. Saturday, showers likely in the morning, then showers with a chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Highs in the mid-70s. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 90%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Okay, not too bad. I guess we could use the rain, as they say, right? So in studio today, everybody joining us, thank you for being here. In studio, we have Michelle Dempsey. Michelle, hello.
Hello.
And Michelle is the Assistant Director of Visitor Services and Interpretation. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Correct? And also in studio, we have Sarah Margolis Pinio. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Margolis.
Margolis. Yes. Okay, thank you. And Sarah is the Director of Public Programs for the Mount mm-hmm. in Lenox. So welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
So when we spoke last week, Michelle, about coming on the show, you know, I said I was going to go to your website and just kind of, you know, we'll pull some stuff together and have plenty to talk about. And you have lots to talk about.
Yes.
So, yeah, I started making some notes, going through the website the other day, and I'm like, we'll have no shortage of topics to cover.
I don't think so.
Yeah, so that's fantastic. So can you tell me a little bit about the Mount, maybe a little bit of background, whoever wants to start?
Yeah, sure. The Mount is the estate of American author Edith Wharton, who lived there from 1902 to 1911. She wrote over 40 books in 40 years, and she's mostly remembered as a novelist, but she also wrote a lot of books on architecture, design, travel. She was a poet. She wrote plays. She did a lot of things. And so we do a lot of things here at the Mount that kind of echo Edith Wharton's spirit in a lot of ways. Very fond of nature and gardens also. Mm-hmm. So that's become a big part of what we do at the Mount.
Yeah. And what else, Sarah, what else can we add to that right now?
It's just as you mentioned, we're a very multifaceted cultural site, and I think people gravitate to the Mount for so many different reasons, which is sort of part of our charm, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, we have the Edith Wharton devotees there. These are the readers of The Age of Innocence and The House of Mirth who seek out her historic home mm-hmm. as a site of inspiration. But then we also day-to-day have the dog walkers. Mm-hmm. During the pandemic, something that the Mount opened to the public essentially as a public park. So we've become a real resource for nature and respite for the larger community of Central Berkshire County. And so whatever your relationship to Wharton or the estate may be, we really try to have something for everybody.
Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, my personal connection with it is I grew up in Lenox. So I've actually kind of partaken with different things at the Mount over the decades, really. But more recently, you know, the Knightwood. Mm-hmm. Been there a few times. That's really interesting. And, we have taken advantage of walking the property during the art programs. So all these things we'll get back to. But it's going to tell you some of the things that I'm familiar with. A couple other things. I used to be a Justice of the Peace for a period of time. And I actually did a wedding down there at one point.
Okay, lovely.
I know you do a lot of weddings.
Yes.
First one of the season is this weekend.
Is it already? Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Oh, wow, that's great. Hopefully the weather holds out.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
And then actually going even further back. I mean, I've also done the ghost tour. All these things we'll talk about.
Yeah.
But going way back before the restoration, when Shakespeare and Company was mm-hmm. there.
Quite a time, we hear.
Yeah, it was. But I can remember going there when I was like 10 years old. My mother brought me to some of the shows and walking down that that pathway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the ferns and the woods and the torches and... And the stage at the time was set up, I'm sure maybe you know this, mm-hmm. Over the garden there with the fountain. Well, both gardens have fountains. But
yeah.
And the actors would come out of the woods, and the lighting was in the woods. It was really cool. I'm glad that they have their place, and you have the Mount's gone through the restorations that it has, and it's its own thing now. But I've had experiences down there for decades.
Yeah. Well, so, the landscape was designed for high drama, yeah. So it makes sense. I mean, going back to the turn of the century, Wharton, she gravitated to the Berkshires and to that landscape in particular mm-hmm. as a site of healing and reflection and inspiration for her writing. And as, her first published work was a book on design.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was very invested in the relationship with landscape and space and encounter of those super dramatic vistas. And so that is absolutely something that our super talented landscape mm-hmm. Folks try to maintain to this day.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that in itself is just a huge draw for people to go down and see those gardens. And, as you said, it's basically a park space, right? You do open it to the public. Is there a charge for people to go in there?
No, it's free. Since the pandemic, we opened the grounds and gardens for free.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is fantastic because they're really beautiful, the gardens that you have down there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have intertwined into the gardens, you have the, every year you have an art show, essentially,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me a little bit about that and who curates that and how that comes
Yeah, sure.
About?
Do you want to take that one, Sarah?
Sure. Yeah, so Sculpture at the Mount, it actually opens next weekend, Memorial Day weekend. It's a juried show, and so we take applications from contemporary sculptors across media and concept. We begin taking applications in the winter, and then we have a small jury who goes through them and decides on the 20 to 25 artists featured year to year in the show. This year, we worked with a really talented curator and museum director from the De Cordova Sculpture Park and Museum in Lincoln, Mass., Sarah Montross, who is a very seasoned curator working particularly with outdoor sculptural installations. And so her voice was a really valuable part of the process this year and really helped us shape the show in a beautiful way. Previously, folks in Berkshire County may know the exhibition as Sculpture Now, which was a community-run event. Last year was the first year that the Mount sort of took over management of the exhibition and rebranded it as Sculpture at the Mount. And mm-hmm. so this year we're actually introduced a really fun theme that will underlie the exhibition. It's the theme of movement.
Mm-hmm.
And this, so we gravitated to this theme because it can be interpreted literally through kinetic works of sculpture or very broadly conceptually in terms of personal growth and evolution, cultural translation, movement across, continents. And so we really have a very compelling group of sculptors who will be installing their works next week at the Mount, and then the show will be officially open, I believe, the 23rd, which is Memorial Day weekend.
Mm-hmm. So they start moving in the sculptures over mm-hmm. the next week
yeah.
or so.
Yeah, and hot tip to listeners, Crane Day is Tuesday, uh-huh. next Tuesday, we work with LP Adams mm-hmm. and they bring over a giant crane. They close all the roadways through the Mount. And it's a really fun thing to come in and watch these massive works of outdoor sculpture be suspended in the air and then installed on earth ground. So especially those for little kids. I have a 5-year-old and he wouldn't miss it. So, yeah.
And I want to emphasize too real quick that since the grounds are open for free, the sculpture exhibition is also open for free. You don't mm-hmm. need to purchase a ticket in order to walk around and do the sculpture. And we have a scavenger hunt for kids for it also.
Yeah, I saw that, the scavenger
yeah.
hunt. Yeah. So how does that work? Where do they get their
map or the list? Where is that?
Yeah, so one of us, a staff member, it's been me the past few years. But basically, you go around and we take a picture of a fun angle of the sculpture. You don't want it to be too obvious for kids, and you test it out a little bit on a couple different groups. And then, yeah, it's a sheet. They walk around. You give them a pencil, mm-hmm. and they can go explore the grounds, explore the sculptures, and they get a fun, cute little prize either at the front of the house mm-hmm. or at the ticket booth when they leave. Mm-hmm. So.
But
yeah.
they can pick those up with our colleague Nick in the ticket booth at the top, or with our colleagues who are in front of the house.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Is there an adult version?
No, but that's a great idea. Yeah. I will bring that back to the crew and see if we do.
I'd sign up for that. Yeah. So I mean, the sculpture series that you have, that's been a draw. I have been down there for that. It was probably been about 2 years, but I'll make it there. I'll make it back this year. but that's just one of those things where I'm glad you mentioned the thing about the cranes, because you were talking about the installation, and I remember some of those are pretty large.
Yeah.
And I was just trying, as you were telling me, I'm like, how do they get them in there? And then you mentioned the crane, so you answered my question before I could ask it. So thank you.
And the path itself has expanded this year too. We're going into the woods, I believe, right, Sarah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. It's so you went to Nightwood this year, which is our outdoor sound and light installation. Mm-hmm. So we're really seeing it sort of a full year of fine art programming. We have sculpture mm-hmm. in the summer and then Nightwood in the winter. And so year to year, this was our fifth year, correct?
Yeah.
We expand the pathways every year to create new encounters for Nightwood as well as for sculpture. And so, I mean, honestly, the recommendation is to come at various times of day and of the year, because it really does change according to weather and season and slant of light. So mm-hmm. it's always a lovely thing to experience. And I will say too that we do have a number of adult programs that do engage the sculpture exhibition tours led by artists, but I also always want to shout out Word by Word, which is a group of poets, community-based poets that we work with, funded by Berkshire Taconic Community Foundation, who's a really wonderful supporter. They invite poets to actually do readings, create works in response to our sculpture exhibition. And so those happen on Sundays at 5 p.m. throughout the summer. So take a look at our calendar, because it's a really special experience mm-hmm. to be really witnessing a work of art as it's created in front of the sculptures.
Yeah. That's.
And there are audio tours available also. So for each of the sculpture installations, there will be a little QR code. You can scan it and you can hear the artists themselves talk about the piece.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah, because sometimes you need a little interpretation.
Yeah.
Yep.
So is that part of the interpretation as far as your title goes? Is that what
you're saying? No, actually, this is something the artists come up with themselves, and our assistant director of programs, Jackie Christensen, she's really, really the one leading the charge for sculpture, so mm-hmm. she's done a great job.
Yeah. So I want to ask a little bit about the renovation and the restoration that the estate went through over the past couple of decades. As I mentioned before, some time back, it was there, but mm-hmm. you couldn't go inside. Mm-hmm. It was kind of shut down, shuttered. And then I know there's a long period of time where there was a lot of fundraising. There was a lot of attention, national attention. You had two first ladies, Hillary Clinton mm-hmm. and Laura Bush, right? Each came during their terms and helped to promote fundraising. So you had a lot of good focus and attention on that. So can we talk a little bit about how the renovation went? Is it still ongoing?
Always ongoing.
Yeah.
So the first real major restoration effort, I wouldn't say concluded, because like I say, it's always, kind of ongoing. But we had a designer showcase in 2002 where some renowned and rather big interior designers came, and they mm-hmm. each chose a room on the main level of the house, which is the second level. And those rooms are interpreted as as period pieces. So mm-hmm. they're installed to look like it might have looked during Wharton's time. So we still have remnants of that showcase today. And then, the upstairs, we have Edith Wharton's suite, her bedroom suite restored. And that didn't take place until nearly a decade after. Mm-hmm. So that was another huge, huge piece of that. But always, always ongoing. I think the terrace was maybe close to 2017. Mm. Stable was around that same time. We just did a major exterior renovation and restoration of the gatehouse, which was the estate superintendent and head gardener. Mm-hmm. So he lived there on property, but it's now where our admin offices are located. The greenhouse has been restored and it functions beautifully and really helps keep up the gardens. And so there's always something.
And as far as the whole Gilded Age period, I mean, this is actually a relatively newer building.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually in the 1900s, not like some of the others in the early
yeah.
1800s, right? So it was actually one of the more one of the later buildings to join that club, if you will, right?
Yeah, and that's something we've kind of backed away a little bit from, is calling it a Gilded Age home for a number of reasons. You outlined the one is that it is a little bit later than the Gilded Age, which, you know, goes to, you know, up about 1900. But in the Berkshires, a lot of these transformations were a little more slow coming. So you still had people coming into the Berkshires at that time, transformed to a service economy rather than a farming economy. So a lot of that was still going on. But in terms of Edith Wharton's design, also, you don't think of, say, you know, Ventford Hall or Biltmore or something. Wharton really appreciated a return to classical design. It's a little more open, a little more light inside. So that was something that Wharton really valued and in her design sensibilities, too.
And as you said, when you had these, as part of the restoration, you tried to make it as back to the way it used to be,
yeah.
right, as possible, including when you had these different designers come in. As
yeah.
best they could, right?
Best yeah, best you could. There's some fun yeah. interpretations here that, yeah. that are still in the house. But generally, yeah, we're lucky that we have a lot of photographs.
Mm-hmm.
Not a ton, but, you know, some for each of the main rooms. We don't have any photographs for Wharton's bedroom because that was a private space.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the other rooms, the dining room, the drawing room, Wharton's boudoir, we do have photographs for. So that's exciting. And the library.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, with the Mount and any of these old buildings, I actually, as much as I like seeing like the main rooms and all the lavish rooms and all that kind of thing, I get a kick out of like the back rooms.
Yes.
You know, like the kitchen. The kitchen actually is one of my favorite.
It's beautiful.
Going in there.
Yeah,
I know,
I think
like, it,
yeah,
really
people
cool.
don't realize it. Yeah. You know, I just gave a tour yesterday and people come in and they're like, oh, wow. Like that's, you know, that's the reaction is that it's light and bright. One of my favorite rooms in the house is actually Edith Wharton's bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
There's beautiful wallpaper that has been, this particular design was recovered from one of the guest baths,
mm-hmm.
and so we reproduced it in the bathroom, but it's really bright. It's, you know, not huge. It's not ostentatious, but it looks out onto the gardens, and yeah. it's one of the underappreciated rooms, I think.
So anyway, we are, I just want to reintroduce our guests for anybody who might just be joining us. We are talking today about the Mount at Edith Wharton Estate in Lenox, and we have in studio Michelle Dempsey, who's the Assistant Director of Visitor Services and Interpretation, and we have Sarah Margolis Pinio, who's the Director of Public Programs. So thank you again for being here. Thank you for everybody who's joining us to listen in. The Knightwoods, we touched on it a little bit already, but where did that come from, the idea of doing that, or how did that kind of come about?
All right. So this was a 2020 project.
Mm-hmm.
So Knightwood, you know, we were closing out the end of the year. We had opened to the public, I believe it was in July, obviously with a lot of, you know, COVID and pandemic restrictions. But as the weather was getting colder and people were feeling a little, you know, more and more isolated because you couldn't gather outside as much, you know, we were thinking, how could we use the estate and the property to be of service to the community?
Mm-hmm.
Like I mentioned before, it was COVID that led us to opening the grounds and gardens and trails for free. So, you know, some more people were a little more familiar with the grounds than they had been before. And there were, you know, restrictions on traveling out of state then. I don't know if people remember. They probably do still. So this was something that was really targeted towards being a benefit to the community. And we ended up working with a designing group from Boston, mm-hmm. I believe. And we still work with them, Celestry Light. And yeah, it's been a staple at the Mount ever since. And one of our main ways to connect with the community, again, because a lot of our visitors during the summer, we do get a decent amount of locals, but we get a lot of people from out of town. But this is one of the things that we really use to focus on the community.
Mm-hmm. And then the ghost tours is another thing that's pretty popular, right?
Yes. Yes.
Is that pretty much just around the fall?
No. So we start ghost tours in July. I believe
okay.
July 11th
mm-hmm.
is the first one. If you go to the calendar of events, and they do sell out.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something, if you are interested in ghosts at all, that's a fun thing to keep in mind. We do up the number of ghost tours as we get closer to Halloween. In October, beginning of October, I believe, we are also offering ghost tours for kids.
Mm-hmm.
So generally, we advise that, you know, every kid's different.
Yeah.
But the ghost tours for kids are generally for kids under the age of about 12.
Okay, so that's like the Casper.
Yeah.
Casper the Ghost kind of
yes.
level. Okay. All right. Just the friendly ghost.
Yes. Right.
But yeah, like I said, I took part in that one night with my daughter, and it was fun.
Yeah.
And
we
started, I don't know how you do it now, but we started up in the stables.
Yep.
Went down, of course, you had to go through the pet cemetery.
Pet cemetery,
that's
yep, and then down into
that,
the
right?
house. Yeah.
So
yep, that's still what we do.
Yeah. it was a good time, so I recommend it if anybody can get in there.
Yeah.
But like you said, those tickets go quickly.
Yes.
It's a popular
thing.
Yep,
so check the website and find when you want to come, especially around Halloween. They'll book quicker.
So let's talk about some of the things that are coming up. I know, again, you have a very full calendar on your website. So maybe just sort of articulate some of what people could explore when they come down there.
Sure. So we offer abundant public programming in summer months, basically June through the end of August. And we have, it runs the gamut. We have some community favorites, large-scale events like our monthly jazz series, Sounds of Summer, which is curated by local musician Michael Junkins. June, July, and August, we're featuring some really outstanding bands who play on our terrace, and then audiences are invited to have camp chairs, picnic blankets throughout our grounds and gardens, bring refreshments, or patronize one of the food trucks parked in front of the food court, and of course the Mount Bar up on the terrace. It's a really delightful, free community event that we are just so happy to offer year after year. Of course, as an institution dedicated to the legacy of an American writer, we also offer quite a bit of literary programming. We have two lecture series that highlight authors for the most part. The first is our summer author series, which is 8 weeks of new works from the genre of biography and memoir. Highlight in that series this year is author Deva Sobel, who many people probably know from her Galileo's Daughter, Longitude. She's a Pulitzer Prize finalist. She'll be speaking in early August. I'm also very excited personally about Susan Morrison, who's an editor at the New Yorker magazine. She wrote a biography of Lorne Michaels that really talks about the 50-year history of Saturday Night Live. So that's going to be a really, really fun one. And I will say our kickoff and concluding lectures. The first, Michelle Young is presenting her book that was actually just published this week called The Art Spy, which is the story of some World War II espionage, a woman who actually was able to save quite a bit of works of fine art from the Nazi occupation. And then at the end of the series, we have Elise Graham speaking about Book and Dagger, which is another World War II narrative. It highlights the story of librarians and academics who worked towards World War II intelligence and, in fact, could be credited with swaying the war in our favor. So it's a really, really interesting series. We also have probably our most anticipated series is In Conversation with Andre Bernard. Andre is also a Lenox resident. He is the former vice president of the John Simon Guggenheim Foundation. And essentially, he invites his friends to come on stage and converse and dialogue with him. And of course, his friends are, this year, Pulitzer Prize-winning novelists like Jane Ann Phillips, who wrote Night Watch. Your Pulitzer Prize-winning biographer Robert Caro is probably our most anticipated talk. Of course, we know from The Power Broker, the biography of Robert Moses, which is celebrating its 50th year this year, as well as the ongoing LBJ series. And the Associate Justice of the Supreme Court, Justice Stephen Breyer, who will be speaking August 1st. And so it's a really, really impressive lineup that, again, we try to sort of offer something that would interest, a really broad audience. So the way to see all of this is either to find one of our program's brochures, which are throughout Berkshire County at this point, as well as going on our website to our calendar. You can sort of see everything there.
Mm-hmm. And the brochure is also on the calendar. You could flip through it also.
That is a good point.
Okay. Good, good. And these this lecture series, is this up in the stables up in the up top, right?
So
is it down in the main? Is it in the main mansion?
We actually have a few venues across our campus. So the large scale lectures, the two I just mentioned, author series and in conversation, actually happen in a 400 seat, it's early, a 400 seat event tent. It's essentially a wedding tent that we put up for the summer on our kitchen garden field, which is the field adjacent to the parking lot. Mm-hmm. We also have our stable auditorium, and that's where we host some of our smaller scale talks that are more image focused. So this year we have a series called Building Old New York, which is highlighting contributions, I guess, to the New York cultural landscape. So there's a really wonderful history of the Metropolitan Museum of Art presented by scholar Jonathan Conlin, as well as some a history of Central Park presented by Sarah Cedar Miller, who's the park historian. And so those happen in our stable. And then, of course, we also have the grounds and the house. And so on our terrace, one of my favorite events of the season is our monthly Wharton on Wednesday series. And for this, we bring in local actors to read Wharton short stories on the terrace. And these are very informal. They're open air, but they're brilliant presentations of some of Wharton's stories. And I have to shout out in particular Anne Unland, who is one of the larger Wharton enthusiasts, I think, in our fold. She's written a play called Wharton Between the Sheets. That's how big a fan she is. But she does all the voices when she reads her stories. And it's just the most delightful experience. You'd sip a glass of wine overlooking the gardens of the Mount and just hear Wharton's words brought to life. There's just nothing else like it. So highly recommended.
Yeah. And to be doing it at her home.
At her home.
Yeah. As though it was her ghost, right?
With the ghost.
Back to the ghost tours. Yes. It always goes back to the ghost tours.
So of the writer series that you mentioned, some of your presenters, you mentioned there's a connection to stories about World War II.
Yes.
And which of course, ties in nicely with Edith Wharton, because she was also a World War I correspondent or journalist, right, over in Europe. So it's nice that you're kind of bringing in that sort of sentiment to what they're writing in comparison to her life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm happy you brought that up, because that is a little known fact about Wharton that we try to unpack, I think, for visitors. I mean, in general, when we're programming season to season, we really think of Edith Wharton as muse. And so we're not operating within like a prescriptive idea of what her legacy is in a literal sense. We're really thinking of her and her work, the physical landscape that she designed and built, as really the spark to ignite very contemporary conversations about what it means to us today. And so, there's so many different ways we could engage her history, her legacy. And so that's part of the excitement of actually the work that we do at the Mount.
And one of the permanent exhibits at the Mount is on Wharton and her World War I humanitarian efforts. So other exhibits can come and go, but this one, because, again, as Sarah mentioned, it's one of the little known facts about her. She did a lot of work with refugees. So a lot of that is emphasized in that exhibit. But to Sarah's point about focusing on Wharton as muse, you know, one of the big themes for this season is the Mount is where stories come alive. So a lot of the programming this season is based on that aspect of Wharton.
And also when we come back from our top of the hour break, we could talk a little bit more about Edith Wharton, some of her body of work, and you know, also you mentioned a number of Pulitzer Prize winners, and she's one as well, right? First woman, right, to get the Pulitzer Prize.
In the genre of fiction.
Genre of fiction, okay. Yep. All right, thanks for clarifying that. I'd like to revisit that a little bit and talk a little bit about her and her library of contributions to the literature world. So as I said, we are coming up on the top of the hour, so we will pause for a station ID, and we're going to thank our underwriters, and then we will return with Michelle Dempsey and Sarah Margolis Pinio from the Edith Wharton Estate, The Mount in Lenox.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sandrini.com.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR-FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR-FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
Let's take a moment to talk about your wellness. Financial wellness, that is. Plan your meals out in advance and shop for the week. This will deter you from spending more than you planned.
Pay yourself first. Think of your savings like a bill you pay monthly. This way you can be ready when life happens.
This money hack brought to you by your neighbors at Greylock Federal Credit Union. All financial education and coaching resources are free and open to the public. Greylock Federal Credit Union, insured by NCUA.
Welcome to the M&M Show. I'm Michelle.
And I'm Mike.
Listen to us every Tuesday from 10 to 12 for eclectic variety of 70s to today of every genre on WTBR 89.7 Pittsfield Community Radio.
Radio like it used to be.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to the Morning Drive here on WTBR 89.7 FM and WSBR 88.1 FM in Lee. Our guests today are from The Mount in Lenox, the Edith Wharton Estate. We have Michelle Dempsey and Sarah Margolis Pinio. When we come back from the weather, we will continue our conversation about all the great events that are going on at that venue.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny. Showers likely this afternoon. Highs around 80.
No.
Southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour.
It's three of us.
Chance of rain 60%. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Showers likely, mainly in the evening. Lows in the lower 60s. South wind around 5 miles per hour.
The video?
Chance of rain 60%.
A few hours.
Saturday, showers likely in the morning, then showers with the chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Highs in the mid-70s. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 90%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, sounds like Berkshire weather. all over the place. But it is almost June, right? It's coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming. Mm-hmm. It's coming. Summer's coming. So all looking good. So I just want to remind our listeners who want to be viewers that we do have we do record these morning drive episodes. And so if there's something here that you've missed a portion of our conversation today and you wanted to go back and review it or you want to see it again, you can always go to the PCTV website and you can find the whole library of all the shows from the past year, if not longer, whether it was myself or Sean or anybody else that may have been doing one of the shows. They're all there for your review. So, again, in studio today, we are talking about The Mount, Edith Wharton Estate in Lenox, and we have Michelle Dempsey, who is the Assistant Director of Visitor Services and Interpretation, and Sarah Margolis Pinio, who is the Director of Public Programs. So, again, welcome.
Thank you.
And so before we went to break, we were talking about the writer series that you have there, where people can come and hear from different authors on their works and some other topical conversations. And while we were mentioning that, you mentioned there were quite a few Pulitzer Prize winners. And so we wanted to kind of circle back and talk a little bit about Edith Wharton herself being a Pulitzer Prize winner. So, Michelle, can you talk a little bit about her works? And, you know, I'm sure people, a lot of people know who she is, but maybe they don't always associate, or they know the books, and maybe they don't make that connection sometime, because there are some very familiar titles.
Yeah, sure. So about Wharton and her writing, we do have an entire exhibit on this. So come check it out. It's relatively new, installed the past couple of years. And in that exhibit, we really talk about the variety of different things, topics, themes, genres Wharton wrote about and on. I mentioned earlier that she is most known as a novelist about old New York and Gilded Age society, but she was also a poet, and she wrote drama, and she has travel writings about her experiences in Europe. So she did a little bit of everything. And, you know, The Age of Innocence was her Pulitzer Prize-winning novel for 1921, and I believe it was the 90s. I should know this, actually, but Martin Scorsese turned that film into, that book into a film with Michelle Pfeiffer and Daniel Day-Lewis and Winona Ryder. So that's a great film. Could be a good introduction if you'd like to watch it before reading, or the other way around. But something that, you know, we like to talk about when we talk about Edith Wharton today is how relevant a lot of her works still really are. A lot of the themes really resonate with people. She had some complicated views on a variety of things, but in terms of, you know, she was a trailblazer in a lot of ways, especially for a woman of her class. I mean, she had inherited wealth and she came from a lot of money. But her works resonated with people. She actually, by today's standards, one of my favorite exhibit boards we have in the house is called Money Matters, and it breaks a lot of different fun figures down from, you know, her time period versus like the rough modern equivalent today. And she, you know, by today's standards, she would have made quite a bit of money actually from her writing also. A lot of themes about women, choices, having money, lacking money, what that does for people. And some topics people might not expect, dabbles a little bit into issues of euthanasia, what people do under extreme circumstances, power imbalances when it comes to love, and choices in regarding who you're stuck with versus who you would like to be with. So there's quite a lot in there for people to relate to today. And on top of that, her writing is relatively accessible. I think you know, some people get a little bit nervous when they think of the classics or reading something that was published, you know, over 100 years ago now. But in the end, Wharton really, really understood people. She was, you know, wouldn't call her a sociologist, but she really, or an anthropologist, but she really studied the world around her. And that really comes through in her works.
Mm-hmm. And with The Age of Innocence, there's also, I've heard there's a lot of sort of a maybe autobiographical kind of feel to it.
That's a story a lot of people come to because it was her parents' world. And it's interesting because she actually, I don't know how many people know this, but so Wharton left the Mount in 1911 and she spent the rest of her life in France. Mm-hmm. She only traveled to the U.S., I believe it was twice after that. So she was writing this story about the 1870s in New York City, a world that really, really, really had a hold on her imagination. So that was a topic that she revisited till her death, basically, was this idea of what women and men in the society, you know, what choices they were making and why and how, you know, wealth influenced those decisions or the lack of it. And I think, you know, some things we can relate to today, even if it takes a step of your, you know, a step back in your imagination to put yourself in that world. But it's also fun because she's in France, and for the Age of Innocence in particular, she sent, you know, she had her sister-in-law, Minnie Jones, was kind of her agent slash researcher, trying to get historical details right. So this was the generation of her parents, really, who were of age then. Wharton was born in 1862. This is really taking place in the 1870s-ish. So a lot of it was checking in on historical fact and, you know, getting the details right to really make this world come alive for people.
Right. And then some other well-known titles would be like Ethan Frome.
Yep.
And House of Mirth, right?
Yeah. So the House of Mirth was really the book that kind of pushed her into being a household name as a novelist. It was published in 1905, and the proceeds from it actually helped her finish creating The Gardens at the Mount. Mm. And Ethan Frome is one of her Berkshire stories, as we call them.
So I maybe you can clarify this for me. The hill, Stockbridge Road, just past the town hall there in Lenox.
Mm-hmm.
I heard, I don't know if it's an old wives' tale or whatever, but there had been a sledding accident there.
Yeah.
And that was the inspiration?
Yeah, that was fact. Okay. That was in a newspaper. Okay. Yep, there were, you know, a couple of young people who had gone sledding on that hill, and a young woman died. And that was kind of, you know, the impetus for one of the major moments in the novel, or in the story of Ethan Frome.
Okay, good. So I can continue to tell that story.
Yes.
Some authority.
That
now.
Newspaper evidence is somewhere. Okay. But yeah, it actually happened.
All right. I'll say Michelle said it's
yes.
True. So we talk a lot about what she did with her novels, and particularly when you said that there's a lot of relevance to some of those novels in today. So that brings us to talking about what is going on today at the Mount. So I know that you have a lot of great programs for the public. And so, Sarah, if you could maybe talk a little bit about some of those programs, it'd be great.
Sure. I mean, in addition to the two series of author talks that I mentioned earlier, the Summer Author Series, highlighting new works from the genres of biography and memoir, and In Conversation with Andre Bernard, which really brings together people at the foremost of their field, whether it be politics, literature, the arts, everything in between. We have the program that I'm probably most excited about this summer is our brand new Youth and Family series. And this is a summer-long series of free programming on Sundays for younger audiences. And the idea behind sort of lining up these Sundays is that we want families with younger kids to know that if they come to the Mount on Sundays, there will be something there for them, whether it be an arts and crafts activity and story, or a concert. We have a series of three concerts for kids in June, July, August this year. We're also offering a number of writing workshops for middle grades kids. These are sort of upper elementary and middle school on subjects including letter writing, pen pals, or graphic novels, and many, many other offerings as well that you can see on our calendar. We have some exciting partnerships as well with community groups. I definitely want to highlight the Berkshire Music School, who's bringing a Build-A-Band workshop, as well as a monthly Tunes for Tots dance and music program with Mr. Dan. We have an ongoing collaboration with Berkshire Audubon, who's offering programs for, Mass Audubon, is offering programs for both families as well as adults throughout the summer. And with Stories and Stretches, which is a partnership with Flow on Main Yoga Studio in Dalton, who offers a movement class, a class on mindfulness and movement in the gardens at the Mount for young kids that's framed around a story that's told at the beginning of the class. So please, families out there with young kids, check out our lineup because all of these programs are free and they're running all summer long. It's going to be a lot of fun. The culmination of sort of our summer season is going to be our Community Day on Sunday, August 10th. This is a full day of music, performances, read-alouds, everything you can imagine, face painting, vendors, food trucks, all the things. Free and open at the Mount all day long on Sunday, August 10. I'm also very excited, and I just want to mention we're hosting also a bilingual children's book swap that day as well. So all summer long, families with gently used children's books who maybe their kids have grown out of, you can drop them with us at the Mount, either at the ticket booth with our colleague Nick Hudson, or in the stable or other locations around the campus, and we'll bring those so other families can take them home and find new favorites after our book swap on August 10. And this will be actually a partnership with the Children's Librarian from the Lenox free library. So we'll have a little bit of expertise in selecting and finding new homes for gently loved kids' mm-hmm. books at that event. So please come join us and bring your books all summer long.
Mm-hmm. And the house is open for free that afternoon also.
Right. Yes. Yep. Free house tours.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Great. Yep. Great. This is great, you know, that you're doing. It's called Community Day?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, you know, just all that list that you just went through of all those different organizations.
I know, it's
that
a lot.
It's a lot, but it's great.
Yeah.
You know, that you're working with so many other nonprofits and other organizations, you know, like the Lenox Library, Berkshire Music School, Mass Audubon. I mean, and I'm sure there's more, right, that we're
yes.
just not mentioning right now. But
we really try very hard to play well with others. We yeah. want to be known as a cultural entity that collaborates. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, the root of all of our collaborations are all about the power of storytelling. Mm-hmm. That's sort of where our nexus of our programs lies. And so anyone out there who's listening who is a potential community partner, please get in touch. We're always willing to brainstorm and collaborate and create new ideas with mm-hmm. other groups or organizations, because that's where the exciting work happens.
Yeah. And it doesn't sound like even though you got all this stuff going on, it seems like you are staying in your lane. You're staying on mission, right?
Yeah.
And staying
yeah.
focused on what it is that you want to convey. But you're doing it in a collaborative way, mm-hmm. which is so important around here in Berkshire County.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I always say this when I have people on here, is that I always find when we have these conversations how much everybody is intertwined.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In a good way, you know,
yeah.
and supportive and being there for each other and cross-pollinating, if you will, mm-hmm. their different programs. So that's fantastic that the Mount is also part of that ecosystem, if you mm-hmm. will, you know. But also, so this Community Day, again, the date on that?
Is Sunday, August 10th.
Okay.
And it's running from 11 a.m., I believe, until past 5.
Mm-hmm.
And so our first concert of the day is Mr. G, mm-hmm. who will be doing a bilingual children's concert. I think many out there with kids may know Senorita Mariposa, which is, yeah, it brought down the house last year. So I'm assuming it will again. And then later in the afternoon, we're featuring Natalia Bernal, who also many Berkshire County residents will know, a Chilean-born singer-songwriter who's just brilliant. And so we really are highlighting all the cultural diversity that the Berkshires has to offer mm-hmm. and what makes this county so special and so unique.
Yeah. So we've got about another 15 minutes here. So I just want to, anybody who's just joining us, I want to reintroduce you to our guests who are here in studio from the Mount, Edith Wharton Estate in Lenox. We have Michelle Dempsey and Sarah Margolis Pinio. I'm sorry. You just told me I was doing good with it.
That's because you said that.
I know. Sorry.
It jinxed me. Sorry. Here at PCTV and WTBR, we just want to thank everybody who joined us yesterday for the Eats a Pizza. That's a big fundraiser for PCTV and WTBR. So anybody who was able to join us yesterday, thank you so much. And, of course, all of our contributors, the Shire Tavern, the Locker Room, J.K. Nosh, Porta Via Italian Eatery, Papa John's Pizza, Papa Joe's Restaurante, and Zuko's Family Restaurant. And thank you also to Cohen Kinney Valencenti and Cook for supporting us on that. I haven't heard from anybody yet as to who won, but I'm sure they were all winners. Everybody was a winner, so we appreciate that. So on that subject of, I just took a little of your time to talk about our fundraiser and thank people for participating in that. But I know, obviously, the Mount, other than people coming and obviously buying tickets to go in to see the museum and joining you for these lecture series, these writer series, and so many other ways that they can buy admission in there, what are other ways that people in Berkshire County and elsewhere can support the Mount?
I think, as you mentioned, showing up is mm-hmm. the biggest one. And not even to buy admission, but just to enjoy everything we have to offer, mm-hmm. this merger of nature and culture through the free public park and sculpture show to the paid programs. We just really want to reemphasize that culture is for everybody and promote access to these resources mm-hmm. that we have to share. But in addition to that, we have a fledgling volunteer program where we're positioning volunteers within various departments at the Mount, from, of course, assisting with programs and driving golf carts. Arts, which is always a very popular one.
It's very fun.
It is very fun.
Especially when it's nice out.
Yeah, because you just chat with people who are just delighted to be there, too. It's just, it's wonderful. Mm. Or, you know, we'll have opportunities for things like trail maintenance and grounds maintenance, as well as administrative or archival work. So please, there's a volunteer portal on our website, so you can reach out that way. Yeah, I mean, of course, we're always looking for new ways, of course, to collaborate and to raise visibility and raise funds. And so if anyone has ideas for us, please, like our doors are literally open all the time.
And I believe we have revised slightly our membership program. Mm-hmm. I don't have the details in front of me now, but there are options for younger people and professionals under the age of 35. There are family options. And with a lot of our membership programs, you also have access to what is called the North American Reciprocal Museum, as well as the American Horticultural Society, also a reciprocal program where if you're a member of the Mount, you also have access to all of these other organizations around North America, basically. And you can get free or discounted admission. I believe it's mostly free to a lot of other museums and cultural organizations around the country. So that's something that's really, really important to us, too, is that access.
And that's the membership you're talking about. Yeah.
And one thing we can't neglect, two things technically, our cafe, which is it's positioned on the Mount's Terrace. You do not have to pay admission to go to the cafe. And I would highly recommend coming for lunch, getting a sandwich, potentially a glass of wine, depending on the rest of your day, and enjoying the views and breezes from that location. Is just wonderful. As well as our bookstore. Our colleague Susan Mount she's just so good at merchandising. And so not only can you find Wharton's full canon of literature there, but you can find a number of other really sweet gifts and other items at our bookstore.
And again, no admission is necessary to visit either the cafe or the bookstore.
Okay. And dogs are welcome.
Yep.
Dogs are welcome.
Yes.
That's grounds, especially leashed, well-behaved dogs. But then inside the house, if the dog can be carried, they are allowed in the house also. You check with other people on your tour if you're taking a guided tour. But that is something that is kind of fun, too, because Wharton loved little dogs.
Yeah.
Yes.
No Great Danes on the couch.
No, unfortunately not.
Yes, obviously having dogs on the property is a big bonus. That in itself draws people.
Also on mission for Wharton.
Yes, absolutely right. Sure, and make sure you know they can always visit the pet cemetery.
Yep.
And just to emphasize that.
Yes.
To emphasize her love for her animals.
Love for dogs. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, you guys have so many incredible things going on, and I know there's probably more that we haven't hit on today, but we could just encourage people to go to your website, see what's coming up on the calendar, and what I love about all these things that you're doing is that, especially since renovation and restoration, is that like so many things around here, and like myself, having grown up in the area, for some reason, I was more aware of the Mount, and I had some opportunities to go down there for some things when I was younger. But there were lots of other places that, you know, they're behind the tree line somewhere. And you just don't, you live here and you drive by it every day and you don't always know what's in there. So for a lot of people, a place like the Mount would fit that bill. So it's great that you have all this community outreach and all these programs that encourage people to come down there. And, you know, and you're inviting them in as guests free of charge to walk the property and at least kind of have that. I'm sure that stirs curiosity about, hey, what's inside, you know, which promotes them exploring more and you know, maybe buying that ticket to come inside and get the full tour. But I think it's really important that organizations and a lot of the facilities around here do things like this. So I'm glad that you guys are such a robust calendar of events. It's really good. So we're talking about the book drive. I just want to talk about that again.
Yes.
So you said people can drop books off at the ticket booth, basically, which is up near the parking lot, right?
Yes, and as well as in the Stable Auditorium or any of our youth and family events. And I should reiterate that this is a drive for children's books. Gently love children's books. And we're also encouraging multiple languages. So, just to, again, to sort of promote that cultural exchange. But we really just want to help families find new favorites for their bookshelves. So yes, drop those off anytime in the summer. And again, the big community day will be on Sunday, August 10th at the Mount. Mm-hmm. And I do also want to plug the fact that the community day is part of our new Community Voices Project, which is a program being sponsored by the Berkshire Taconic Community Foundation. And a few upcoming programs very soon as part of our Community Voices Project are on May 28, which is a Wednesday evening. We're collaborating with the W.E.B. Du Bois Freedom Center in Great Barrington to present a program about sort of history, memory, biography, featuring Jennifer Neal, who is a historian and memoirist, as well as Marcus Smith, who is a historian who's finishing up his PhD at UMass. It should be a really exciting conversation. And then in early June, over two Mondays, we are highlighting What This Place Makes Me, which is a new volume of New Immigrant Theater being published by Restless Press over in Northampton. And Isaiah Stavchensky is presenting a conversation with one of his playwrights, Charlie O, on Monday, June 9, about New Immigrant Theater. And then following that will be a What This Place Makes Me writing workshop the following Monday, led by Isaiah, who leads new immigrant writing workshops for the New York Public Library. And both of those programs are co-organized with the Literacy Network, LitNEC, who partners new English speakers with tutors in the area. So we're really, really excited about this ongoing Community Voices Project, and particularly those upcoming programs late May, early June.
Yeah. That's fantastic. And so it's LitNet that you're collaborating with on that.
Yes. Right. Yes. All right.
I know also we talked a little bit earlier about your venue being used for weddings.
Yes.
And you have your first one coming up next week, right?
Tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Tomorrow. So if people are, I mean, are you pretty well booked for the summer, or is there room?
Yeah, so we are actually already booking for 2027.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay.
So before, again, the pandemic changed a lot of things for us, but before the pandemic, we did not have weddings in July and August, as that was like, you know, our kind of peak season, but COVID happened, and we wanted to honor agreements made with, you know, people who had booked for us who could no longer have the full wedding they wanted to in 2020. So we did open up July and August as dates for weddings. We also have a number of micro weddings this year. So smaller scale, after hours, not on Saturdays or Sundays, which are the two, you know, more popular days. Faith Linz is the person to contact. There is a link at the top of our website. You can contact her if you're interested. But we also host photo shoots, engagement shoots, some styled bridal shoots. And that would all be, all be through Faith, who is our events coordinator. We also occasionally do private events related to that. We'll do rehearsals, that type of thing. So yeah, quite busy.
Well, I know when you talk about the photo shoots, the Lennox prom, right? They came there.
They
for
descended,
their,
yes. Yeah, they,
that was a surprise.
Oh, really? So that wasn't, okay.
That was the plan. But next year, we are happy to host you again, Lennox High School.
Yes,
so please
come back.
Let us know.
All right, I wasn't there. I just heard it was there. So, so there's so much going on. And so Faith would be the person to reach out for if you are planning a wedding down there, or would like to consider a wedding down there, or any other type of event, right?
Definitely. And something I do want to mention too, because we do have weddings on most Saturdays, sometimes the occasional Sunday, but the house will close at 1 p.m. Grounds are open till 2 p.m. So make sure you check our calendar for the early closing days before booking your ticket.
Okay, good. So make sure you check before you come.
Yep, check before you come.
All right,
yep.
Good. And the cafe is open every day, or what's the schedule for the cafe? For the
every
summer?
Day except for Saturday,
okay.
11 to 3.
Okay.
Yes.
Saturday, just why? Because it's just a busy day.
Just, wedding prep and everything. Yeah.
All right, good. So we have about a minute left. What would you guys like to sound off on? What's the last word that you'd like to get in?
I would just say, come visit and enjoy our grounds. This is just another plug that the grounds, the trails, the gardens are free and open to the public dawn to dusk. We are dog friendly. So we are here as a community resource, and we want people, we make you welcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, too, if you are local, if you've never been to the Mount, this is something I think is kind of funny for a lot of people, is that sometimes you're not a tourist in your hometown. There's a lot of places you don't visit just because it's right down the road or you haven't thought about it. But there is something for everybody, whether you are a history buff or, you know, you want to hike down to Laurel Lake, because a lot of our trails, you know, there's a massive trail system that you can access through our property. So you love dogs and you like seeing dogs walking around, then we're the place to be.
Yeah. All right. Well, again, thank you so much. Check out the Mount online. Michelle Dempsey and Sarah Margolis Pinio, thank you for being here to promote what's going on down there. So many great things.
Thank you so much for having us.
And thank you for joining us today on WTBR. And thank you for joining us on the Morning Drive. Hope to see you or hear, or hope you could join us again another time. I can't see you.
All right. It's Friday.
Thanks.